and the great first black Secretary of State, a man who is one of the rare men in American history who is respected by all. A man who was not a perfect man, but lived with a high level of excellence in all that he did. And that was refreshing and good to see. Has died from the coronavirus plague. His name is General Colin Powell. Secretary of State Colin Powell. So I truly believe that it is more fitting for us to do this service as a part of the Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. Certainly the death of this great man from the coronavirus plague pandemic is reminds us of the importance, those of us who are Christians, those of us who are saved, to reach the lost. And all that matters now is whether or not he was saved. That's all that matters. And it's not what he did, but where he is now. And I hope to God that he was a saved man. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. Yeah, all around. Yeah, they turn around all the way. You have to flip around all the way and have it over here. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead. Prayer, devotional, memorial, including Secretary of State Colin Powell, what a life lived, and evangelistic service. The standing between the living and the dead service, I believe this is 520 days that we have had this service. And we give God the glory. Beloved, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily family reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 325, if you will, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history, in the present and in the future. Today we are reading 1 Samuel chapter 30. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we praise you. I praise you, and I hope that everyone else praises you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, for those of us who are truly saved by your grace, Lord, we are compelled to individually and collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. Whether we can pinpoint it or not, we know that we are sin factories. So God, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. Those who are deceived, religious, but lost, we pray that you would open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. And Holy Father God, we pray, as we are all hearing the news, that the great general, one of the most successful, victorious generals in our history, and the first black Secretary of State, Colin Powell, has gone on. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for his family as we prayed for thousands of families who have lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself. Help them to contemplate and to think about their own destiny with death and with eternity. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls if they're not saved. And do the same for millions of families around the globe. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Lord, out of the people here who have that problem, and cast out the demonic sins that these spirits produce: pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, foolishness, witchcraft, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to me and showing me that our sin and our evil is very evil. And if it is not checked by people trusting your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by your grace, it gets worse and worse. If it is not checked by rebuke, if it is not checked by preaching, it gets worse and worse. If it is not checked by the sinful individual, if they don't stop it somehow by your grace, one of the reasons why no doubt you hate sin is because it gets worse and worse. And it takes people down and down and down all the way to hell, all the way to hell. Lord, help people to understand that today. And repent of their sins and trust you as Savior and live right by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, or their lives will self-destruct here on earth and then be destroyed down in hell on a continual basis. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you will grant me your energy, your strength, your unction, your anointing, your freedom, your liberty, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel, to read your holy word, to comprehend your holy word, to understand it, and to remember it, and to meditate on it. Thank you for equipping me to teach it to others in the discipleship way, and equipping me to preach your holy gospel to those who are lost. Open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save Lord, millions of souls before it is eternally too late, because we know that we are here because of your patience and long-suffering. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Lord, continue to do your work. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we pray that your holy name would be glorified and Jesus Christ exalted. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing. Pardon me. Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, at 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. 100% in the back, 100%. Over here, 100%. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days are gone, I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all of the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all of the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jeter, and to them which were in Aurora, and to them which were in Sithmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoa, and to them which were in Recall, and to them which were in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Shorshan, and to them which were in Athach, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you and I thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for your holy word and how it has spoken to my heart for some 41 years, and how that it gets better and better to me, and I see new things in your word even after 41 years. I find that amazing, and even after 41 years, I enjoy your holy word even more now than 41 years ago. I don't understand how that can be, but I thank you for your holy word and how it increasingly speaks to my heart. And Lord, thank you for the privilege that you've given to me to not only read it to my family, but to read it, and not only to read it while in a preaching service, but to read it to others. And I thank you also for the others, the hundreds, the thousands of folks, Lord, who live and on demand, and especially on demand, Lord, who listen to the reading of your holy word. I never thought this would be that successful, because so many people, Lord, don't read your word today. But thank you for what you've done, thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for your remnant, your 7,000, your faithful few. And we pray now that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, your holy name glorified, and Jesus Christ exalted. Lead us, guide us, and direct us the rest of the way in the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead service family members. Pardon me. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, pardon me, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Treasury of David. This is episode number 74. We're at Psalm 9:5 in this devotional service. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Dr. Spurgeon goes on to share from this passage in the Treasury of David, God rebukes before he destroys. May I repeat that in your hearing? God rebukes before he destroys. But when he once comes to blows with the wicked, he ceases not until he has dashed them in pieces, so small that their very name is forgotten. Only God can do that. And like a noisome snuff, their remembrance is put out forever and ever. How often the word thou occurs in this and the former verse to show us that the grateful strain mounts up directly to the Lord, as doeth the smoke from the altar when the air is still. My soul, send up all of the music of all of thy powers to him who has been and is thy sure deliverance. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that you love us so much that you will rebuke us and chasten us before you destroy us if we don't take advantage of your space and grace to repent. And you have the ability and the power to wipe our name off the face of the earth if we don't respond to you in the way that you want us to, because you created us. You made us from nothing. And then you died for us. You redeemed us. And you have every right to do as you please with your rebellious child. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. Help us to remember that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, it is time for us to pray for others. Time for us to read God's word. In another area of the Bible, as you know, it is our custom, in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service, we are reading what I call the family verses. In Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, and today we're at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. We have already read verses 10 through 12. And over the past 2 days, you say, well, this passage here is about spiritual warfare. Precisely. Because you will have more spiritual warfare in your family than in any other area of your life, including the church. The battleground for the Christian, dear friend, is primarily the home. And I have shared with many people down through the years, I mean way back, before even the year 2000, that where we have failed in our so-called Bible-believing churches, independent Baptists, independent Evangelical Bible, independent Methodists, and then the Southern Baptists and the National Baptists and the Methodists and the denominations, we have failed in the family. We have failed on the spiritual battleground of the family. See, it's easy to show up in church on Sunday morning and to not show up in church on Wednesday night, which even most pastors and their wives don't even go to church on Wednesday night. But it's another thing to be a Christian in your heart and in your life at the house. And that's where we have failed. Everybody. I'm talking to everybody. We thank God for a faithful few who really got it on going on at the home. But you're not a good Christian just because you show up at church. And you're not a good Christian at home. You're not a good husband. You're not a good wife. You're not a good child. You are a hypocrite, a phony, and a fake, and a tare in the church. You're a terrorist. You're a liar. Your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. And you are a masquerader. And you go to the church, the big masquerading party where most other people are masquerading as well. And they say a wonderful, sweet little evangelical things. Here's my honey bunch, and this is my better half, and they don't even speak to each other at the house, have not had sex in the past 6 months to a year. That's why they're so horny and interested in somebody else's spouse, to the point of forming swinging rings in the church. Husbands watching their wives have sex with Deacon Bo Peep. Wives watching their husbands have sex with the most beautiful thing in the church, the pastor's wife. These things have been going on for years. That's why God has shut down the church. That's why we have so much adultery, so much fornication, so many side pieces, because the so-called happy-go-lucky, wonderful, sweet Christian evangelical family and marriage that they put on a front every church day, every Sunday, they're not having sex at home. That's why they want somebody else, and they got somebody else in the bed between them, a bisexual devil. See, we have failed in the home, people, not at the church. Oh, we got some great methods at the church. We got fun waiting for you at the church. We got a doggone comedian at the church, a clown. They'll even dunk the pastor on Sunday morning in front of the church. Don't tell me they won't do it. I have seen this. I didn't go to the church that morning. I passed by a Bible-believing evangelical church. Pastor is a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary. And they were playing dunk the pastor in the water with an apple or ball or something in front of the church on Sunday morning. It is permanently etched in my mind. I was passing by and going to another church. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 20. You need to put on the whole armor of God, people. You need to be protected. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Even when people who are supposed to be Christians are running away from God and Jesus and have become Judases, you got to stand, you true Christians. Don't run with them. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul said, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Another thing that we do in the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service is to pray for others in different categories and individuals. So let's do that now. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and mourning. And Lord, in all around the world, in this country, in our communities, in our churches, in our families, in our individual lives. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would have mercy and grace upon us, those of us who claim to be Christians, and please forgive us of our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins of violating and disobeying your simple commandments of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Lord, by the power of your grace and your Holy Spirit, help us, Lord, to repent of that and do your will. And then, Lord, I pray for those of us who name the name of Christ. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and help us to repent. And help us to repent of our sins and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of all people who are in the ministry of government and from the president on down in this country and around the globe, all premiers, potentates, all prime ministers, everybody who is in governmental leadership. And Lord, I do pray for their salvation. I pray that your Holy Ghost will not give them rest. I pray that your Holy Gospel will not give them rest until they repent and trust Christ as Savior. I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit at that point. I pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell out of their lives and do what is pleasing in your sight, that we all may lead and live peaceful and quiet lives. Let your will be done, Lord. Continue to be thorough with us. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of your Christian people who are being persecuted around the world. Please protect them and provide for them and bless them and encourage their hearts. Give them your grace for their trying hours and for their dying hours if necessary. And help each and every one of us as believers in Christ, for our day shall come, to not deny you, but to die joyfully, standing for you. And Holy Father God, as we continue in prayer now, we pray, Lord, for the millions of people who are hurting because they have lost loved ones in the coronavirus plague pandemic. And we have found out today that General Colin Powell, Secretary of State Colin Powell, has died from the coronavirus plague pandemic as well. We pray again that you would comfort his family and strengthen them and lead them all to you. as we pray for millions of others, and we pray for their salvation, and we pray for a few others by name. We pray for the family and friends of Texas resident John Buchanan. We pray for the family and friends of Texas Sheriff Robert Yenklun. We pray for the family and friends of Florida State Trooper Sean Harrick. We pray for the family and friends of Kansas resident Lovell Brown. And we pray for the family and friends of Georgia police officer Frankie Gutierrez. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. We pray for the thousands who have done so. Thank you for the privilege to pray for all of them by name and to pray for their specific needs repeatedly. And we pray now for salvation and spiritual and family and life and financial and material and protection and provision, mental and physical blessings upon them all. Thank you for thousands of answers to prayers down through the years. And for the many people who come back every time a crisis appears, they come back and ask us to pray for them. And they do that for a reason, because they get their prayer requests and their prayers answered. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We pray for a few by name. We pray, Lord, for James. Please provide his church with free Bibles and Christian books for their school and church activities. We pray for Jamba. Please use him to bring other people to you and enough money to build church buildings. We pray also for Bobby. Please save her and guide her and help her to grow in you. And Lord, we pray now for the people who have believed on you and have gotten saved by hearing the gospel preached from this pulpit and from this ministry. And we pray for the thousands who have already done that as well. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for David, Marie, Liseth, Maria, and Calderon. And Lord, we pray for them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. We have never given that invitation, Lord, but you did something in their hearts to cause them to repent of their sins, to get out of their backslidden situations, and to come back to you and recommit their lives to you, and then to write us and let us know that they did, and we had nothing to do with it. That's all you working in their hearts from your holy, through your holy word. And so we pray for Patricia, Kelly, Afuwape, Ezekiel, Sandra, and the thousands of others, Lord, who have done so. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Prophet Daniel's report. This is report number 730. My name is Daniel White the Third, here to remind you that Jesus Christ is coming back one day and that you need to be prepared. One preacher's famous for saying, "Get ready, get ready, get ready." Now he was probably talking about something else, but I believe that you need to get ready for the second coming of Christ. This podcast is not about predictions, nor is it about setting dates, as some people have foolishly done in the past. However, it is all about preparation. First today, beloved, let's look at some signs of his coming in the news. The disciples asked Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:3, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus Christ gave them, and us if you will, clear signs that show us when we can begin to expect to see the coming of the Lord and the end of the world as we know it. Looking at world events through the lens of the Word of God, let's look at some headlines from today's news that point to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, today, under the sign category of pestilences and fatal epidemic diseases, according to The Week, the coronavirus plague was the number one leading cause of death in the U.S. in January, at the peak of last winter's brutal coronavirus surge. But then vaccines became widely available, and it dropped to number 7 by July. The Kaiser Family Foundation says in a new analysis of the coronavirus fatalities. Then the Delta variant hit and found ample unvaccinated Americans and some vaccinated people. In fact, Colin Powell was fully vaccinated, but yet he died of the coronavirus plague. And it kicked the coronavirus plague pandemic back up to the number 2 killer in August and September, the leading cause of death for Americans aged 35 to 54, and even the 6th or 7th leading cause of death for children, for parents put their children back in school unadvisedly in September. The coronavirus plague pandemic took the lives of nearly 2,000 people per day, over 2,000 people per day at a certain point, and a few times reaching 3,000 people a day on average. KFF writes, by comparison, heart disease, which is typically the number one cause of death in the U.S., each year leads to the death of about 2,000 Americans per day, and cancer claims about 1,600 American lives per day. Deaths are declining now, they say, but an average of over 1,600 people per day continued to die of the coronavirus plague in the first week of October, and that is pretty much the same right now. KFF said, even as safe and effective vaccines have been free and widely available to adults in all states and D.C. since early May, people are still dying, even fully vaccinated. Second today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to the Daily Mail, China secretly tested a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile which orbited the globe before returning to Earth to strike its target in a technological development that would overcome U.S. anti-ballistic missile systems. A report from the Financial Times, which cited 5 unnamed intelligence sources, said the Chinese military launched the Long March rocket in August, carrying a hypersonic glide vehicle into low orbit. It circled the globe before descending towards its target, which it missed by about 24 miles. The incident has left U.S. intelligence officials stunned, shocked, and amazed, sources say, as it shows China has made astonishing progress on the development of its hypersonic weapons. This is the latest development in a terrifying arms race taking place in China, in Asia, and in the world, as tensions between China and Taiwan continue to grow. China's Ministry of Defense did not immediately respond to a faxed request for comment on Sunday. It comes as the Chinese military today condemned the United States and Canada for each sending a warship through the Taiwan Strait last week, saying they were threatening peace and stability in the region. Third today, under the sign category of earthquakes in diverse places, according to Reuters, an earthquake of a magnitude of 5.7 hit southern Pakistan in the early hours of Thursday, killing 20 people, most of them women and children, and injuring about 300 at a time when many victims were asleep, authorities said. The earthquake struck at a shallow depth of about 20 kilometers, 12 miles, with its epicenter 102 kilometers, 62 miles east of the city of Quetta, the U.S. Geological Survey said. More than 100 mud houses collapsed and many buildings were damaged, said district official Sahal Anwar. Television images showed buildings with gaping cracks, caved in roofs, and crumpled walls. About 250 homes collapsed, and many people were killed by failing roofs and crumbling walls in the district's Babu Mohalla neighborhood, said Nawab Khan, a local journalist. The entire town is a picture of total devastation, as no house looks safe. Thousands of people are rendered homeless and are under open sky, Khan said, adding that almost 70% of power supply to the district had been disrupted. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is time for Prophecy Boot Camp. Prophecy Boot Camp is where we deal with the basics of prophecy, the second coming of Christ, and what will happen in the future according to the Holy Bible. Our aim here is not to make predictions, but to help you get prepared by understanding how things will unfold in the end times. Our topic for today is titled The Rise of the Antichrist, Part 10. Is the Antichrist Alive Today? Part 2, from Dr. Tim LaHaye, who is now home with the Lord, and Dr. Ed Heinsohn, in their book, The Essential Guide to Bible Prophecy. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This was his most narrow and dogmatic statement. He was proclaiming his uniqueness in the divine plan of salvation. This claim and our Lord's great commission to evangelize the entire world stand in opposition to all other religious claims. They set Christianity apart from the other world religions because Christianity is based on faith in what Christ did, faith in Christ and what Christ did, not faith in what we can do. What Jesus Christ did, he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Back here, over here. Put that down. We must come to the end of ourselves in order to to cast ourselves totally upon God's grace for our salvation. And this is so fitting as we wrap up this service. God has made provision for our sins in the sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus' death on the cross was one of substitution. He took our place and died vicariously for our sins. He also rose from the dead to triumph over sin and death. And He offers everlasting life to all who receive Him by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Ecumenical attempts to ally Christianity with non-Christian religions nullify the unique evangelistic appeal of the church, and not only that, it's an attempt to nullify what Jesus Christ said: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Once we drop our essential beliefs, we have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer to an unbelieving world. The uniqueness of Christianity is Christ. He is the only incarnate Son of God who died for the sins of the world and rose again from the dead. Therefore, we ought to proclaim His uniqueness as the only Savior of sinners. The only real hope to turn our generation away from the mindless pursuit of materialism and money is to call it back to the spiritual values that give real meaning and purpose to life. That is what Jesus meant when He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." By the way, that's my daughter's life's verse that she's lived since she's been born, Danny White, Daniela White. And God has done that for her big time. Jesus Christ Himself said, "Oh, that day and hour." Just set it down, please. Set it down behind you. "Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24:36. The obvious point of this passage is that no man knows the time. So there's no sense in trying to guess when Christ will return. That's in God's mind. It's far better to be ready all of the time, because Jesus could come at any time. Dear friends, if the Lord should tarry His coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic and more in our next episode. In closing, beloved, let's consider what God wants you and I to do in light of His second coming. Jesus Christ said in Luke 19:13, "To occupy till I come." In light of that, we are continuing our journey through the book Coming Events and Present Duties by Dr. J.C. Ryle. It is a collection of what he called prophetic tracts that focus on the believer's duty in light of the signs which point to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember that He lived a long time before Israel became a nation again in 1948. This section is titled "Scattered Israel to Be Gathered, Part 30. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and glory in His person and work. Well, may we do so. Without a living Savior and the blood of His atonement once made on the cross, we would indeed be miserable, but Do we ever reflect that when that Savior became a man in order that as man's substitute he might live and suffer and die? He was born of a Jewish woman, yes, let that never be forgotten. When God was manifest in the flesh and was born of a woman, that woman was a virgin of the house of David. When the promised Savior took flesh and blood that he might bruise the serpent's head and redeem man from hell, he took not flesh and blood of any royal house among the Gentiles, but of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Dear friend, I know well that these are ancient things. They have been often urged, often alleged, often pressed on the attention of the churches. I am not ashamed to bring them forward again. I say that if there be such a thing as gratitude in the heart of man, it is the duty of all Gentile Christians to take special interest in the work of doing good to the Jews. Remember that. And in closing, my beloved, today, you have heard much about Jesus Christ, the God-man, who came to this earth to suffer, to bleed, and to die for your sins and for mine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How fitting it is, my dear friends, to close on this point, that Jesus Christ is our substitute. He lived a holy and perfect and pure life. He never sinned in word, thought, or deed. And yet he voluntarily died on the cross for our wicked, evil, and nasty sins. He took all of our sins upon himself. He suffered like no man ever suffered. He died. He shed his blood. And he died like no other man died. Was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. For you and for me, he is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God. Who has taken away the sin of the world, Jews and Gentiles. And all we have to do is believe in him. Are you willing to do that right now, dear friend? After hearing the gospel in this second coming message. And by the way, he is coming again. Do not get left behind. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he has instructed. He said, Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. And you can get saved right now today. You don't have to go to some ornate church. You don't have to wait for the plague to be over. The plague may never end. There's another variant that was found today in England and in Louisiana. And this plague may never end. It is a plague of long continuance, as God spoke about in the Old Testament. So you can't wait. You need to get saved today. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And it's very simple. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to give a $1,000 offering. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to raise your hand right where you are. You can believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was raised in church every Sunday, lost, and on my way to hell and didn't even know it. I got saved in an Air Force dorm room, and my life has never been the same, and that's been over 41 years ago. So do it now. Follow me in prayer as you believe in your heart in the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including your sins and mine. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart if you want to be saved. Don't say the prayer if you don't mean it. Only God is watching. He knows. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. I am a liar. I am a thief. I have lusted after people and coveted after people and things. I have dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and forgive me of all of my sins, because I've committed some other sins as well. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change. Help me to repent of my sins and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Make sure you pray without ceasing if you are a true Christian throughout this day. Meditate on God's word. And have a productive and peaceful and quiet day. God bless you. Until next time, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here this morning. Once again, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And again, Lord, we pray for the family and friends of the great general Colin Powell, the first black Secretary of State in American history. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for his life And we can only hope that he's with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.